950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show for your rainy Tuesday. Matt and Patrick here today. Good news, Patrick, is that doesn't look like most of the rain, it looks like it's moving out of the metro as of right now. But, man, it was coming down something fierce.
Really was. I have kind of a long drive in, so that was always fun when you're taking a long drive in the rain.
I always like to look at it when we get these late springs, you know, how far north. No, it was rain all the way up into Canada. A little over by Hudson Bay, there was a little snow there. It got cold. I was surprised. It got cold, but so far it doesn't look like anything falling outside of just rain throughout most of the state of Minnesota. Most of the heaviest rain is moved off into Wisconsin, so things should ease out for us at this point, which is good. But, I mean, it was coming down you know, quite a bit today, so don't expect, you know, I noticed a lot of the drainage ditches and stuff look like they're pretty full right now, so just keep that in mind as, you know, you're heading on out today. They had, unfortunately, a fatality on a traffic accident this morning over on 494 Highway 7. So, you know, be careful. Take your time, and you'll get home. There's not that much traffic out there. So, you know, that's the good news. You know, I was here earlier today, and I want to thank, first of all, everyone out there. First, if you're listening at all, thank you. I appreciate it. No, that's cool, dude. I'm with that. Ding. Second of all, you can also watch the show. This is, by the way, people are wondering, how can I see you dancing? Well, go over to Facebook. We do a live stream over there. It's on AM 950 as well as Progressive Citizen X Matt McNeil Show. You can watch the live stream on both channels there, and you can watch me dance at the end of the show because we like to do things happy-dappy here. But we also if you heard there and you heard Brett just talking that long ago about, we opened up a brand-new membership page here at AM 950. It's not a surprise. I mean, it's this economic crisis has affected a lot of businesses. And once again, there's a lot of businesses that are not going to make it out of this. It's scary. It's undeniably scary. But, if we band together, we'll get through this together. And we put out the membership plan, and we've been just tickled pink about how many people have become members. Now, if you can, great. I mean, whatever you can do. If you can't, you just like listen to the show, thank you. No, seriously, thank you. And if you do have something you need, listen to the businesses that are advertising on AM 950. Try to visit one of them because that keeps the radio station on the air. But if you can do the membership, great. We do appreciate that. You go to am950radio.com, and you can become part of the membership page there. We have, because the response for membership has been pretty dang stupendous, we have recorded some brand new members-only interviews that are not like a members-only jacket from the 1980s, which, by the way, some things never go out of style. But no, it's a members only interviews that we've done. We've launched today with Tom Hartman, kind enough to do an interview, and he's actually going to be a recurring guest on the special members only interviews. But we have a brand new interview for him coming out today. We also have interviews coming up here from we've talked to Anton Troyer, who is probably one of the smartest people in regards to Ojibwe issues in the country, in the world. And he has a new book about preserving the Ojibwe language. We'll talk to him. We also, coming up here, Kurt Brown joined us again. I recorded another brand new interview with him where we talked about his book, Minnesota 1918, because 1918, that was the year of the flu, as well as also the World War I, as well as also the fires that ravaged a good part of the state. But we talked specifically about the flu outbreak that happened back then and anything we could kind of translate over. That's a special members-only interview. Plus, I've done brand-new interview openings for the Jesse Diggins interview and then the Rob Massey interview. Robbie Massey, we interviewed him back in 2015, one of my favorite interviews of all time, where he was up on Mount Everest when the earthquake hit Nepal, and he was on the mountain at Camp 2, I believe it was, when that happened. And wow, what an incredible story that he had. But we've done these things. These are going to be member-only benefits. If you want to listen to them, the quickest way to do it is become a member. Go to am950radio.com. That's am950radio.com. Become a member. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I'll keep, you know, if we keep getting members, I'll keep making special members only content and, you know, members only benefits. Well, Lord knows where we'll eventually go with them. Hi there. How you doing? 952-946-6205. I've been told not to do that by management because we want to keep the members. Okay, so stay with us here, and thank you very much. Patrick, let's play. This is a delightful, this is a delightful video montage of Donald Trump explaining everything that he's an expert on. Here you go.
Nobody knows more about taxes than I do and income than I do.
Nobody knows more about construction than I do.
Nobody knows more about campaign finance than I do.
I know more about drones than anybody.
Nobody knows much more about technology, this type of technology, certainly, than I do.
Nobody knows more about technology than me.
Nobody in the history of this country has ever known so much about infrastructure as Donald Trump.
I know the H-1B. I know the H-2B. Nobody knows it better than me.
I know more about ISIS than the generals do, believe me.
I understand things. I comprehend very well, okay? Better than, I think, almost anybody.
And by the way, who knew the other side of the picture better than me? I knew it.
Nobody knows more about environmental impact statements than me.
I understand the power of Facebook. Maybe better than almost anybody.
I know more about renewables than any human being on Earth.
Nobody knows more about polls than me.
I know more about courts than any human being on Earth.
I know more about steelworkers than anybody that's ever run for office.
I know more about golf than Obama knows.
Nobody knows more about banks than I do.
Nobody knows more about trade than me.
Well, obviously, he doesn't know about nuclear weapons. I know more about nuclear weapons than he'll ever know.
I understand the tax laws better than almost anyone.
Who knows more about lawsuits than I do? I'm the king.
I know more about offense and defense than they will ever understand.
And nobody even understands it but me. It's called devaluation.
I understand money better than anybody.
I understand the system better than anybody.
Nobody knows more about debt than I do.
Nobody knows the game better than me.
I know more about contributions than anybody.
And who knows more about the word apprentice than Donald Trump?
I understand politicians better than anybody.
Nobody knows politicians better than me.
Who knows the other side better than me?
Who knows the other side better than me?
I think I know more about the other side than almost anybody.
And I understand the other side. Perhaps I understand it better than anybody else.
I was the fair-haired boy. Nobody knows more about it than me.
I know more than these politicians. These guys don't know anything.
I know a lot. I know more than I'm ever going to tell you.
The truth is I'm actually a modest person. Very modest. It's true.
Can I just say, okay. It's time for us to have the discussion. Why aren't we removing this guy from office? Seriously, if I was to play that montage, only it was a Democratic president saying that they were an expert in nuclear weapons and offense and defense and sports and lawsuits and renewable energy and drones more than Facebook, more than anyone else on the planet. All these things. Now, I talked to, like I said, earlier today, I talked to Anton Troyer, who is probably one of the top experts in Ojibwe culture, Ojibwe language. He's a professor up at Bemidji State. He's one of these people that, you know, he's done TED Talk. He's written tons of books. You know, that is someone who is an expert in one field. He has dedicated his life, a good chunk of it, to education and of not only his students, but to everyone of Ojibwe culture. One issue, and he is truly an amazing guy. If you once again listen to the members interview, we'll have that up next week, I believe. Next week we'll have that members interview up. But that's one issue. Donald Trump just claimed he was the smartest guy on the freaking planet on at least 40 issues, smarter than anyone else on the entire planet. If a Democratic president would have said five of those things, five of them. And once again, that wasn't sarcasm. That wasn't comedy. That was him basically bragging about how smart he apparently is. A Democratic president would be removed from office, and most of the Democrats would probably be on board with it. Not only would it be – I mean, I guarantee you, I mean, there, we saw under the Obama administration the amount of people who were screaming about Dijon mustard and chewing gum and latte salute and mom jeans, and they were in tan suits and telling that each one of these infringements was justification to remove him from office on every one of these, Umbrella Gate and the the bowing too deeply. All of these things. There was someone on Fox News saying he needs to be removed from office. Sometimes it was an actual politician. Sometimes it was just a talking head. But someone was out there making the argument that President Obama needed to be removed from office because the condiment of choice he had for a hamburger was Dijon mustard, which, by the way, is delicious. Yet this guy, in a two-minute window, that audio clip from Now This, the news network, that two-minute clip is just unbelievable for the fact that it just basically he's the most delusional human being I've ever seen in my entire life. I mean, there is delusion, and then there's this. There is no humility. I mean, people talk about the fact that of all these press conferences he's had about coronavirus, he spent less than 2 minutes. Was it 2 minutes or 4 minutes of all these press conferences putting any condolences out to the people who have died, who are sick, who've lost their jobs, who've lost their business? Hundreds of minutes of him in front of the cameras, and very rarely does he ever say anything about the victims of this disease, which now there's over a million cases of in the United States, over a million cases of coronavirus, five times as many as the next worst country. Think about that. But yet he knows more about everything. History will judge this country atrociously because we will eventually say, well, he clearly was a mentally compromised individual. Why was he never removed from office? And yeah, we can always look, well, the Republicans were never going to do that. I have zero doubt. Zero doubt. That was always a thing that they would, that since Nixon, that they never were going to ever remove, you know, a guy from office. He could sit there and, you know, be wearing a diaper on TV and eating paste, and they'd say, oh, it's just presidential. Who doesn't love paste? That's that they will do that. But the reality is there comes a point where the Democrats, what more evidence do you need that this man needs to be removed from office? What more evidence? My God, if Obama would have said one of those things, this country would have stopped and said, can you believe he said he knows more about drones than anybody else on the planet? We've got 3 weeks of drone experts here to talk about how little President Obama knows. But yet he says it, and he's like, well, he's speaking from his gut. No, he's a freaking idiot. He has got the mental capacity of a seven-year-old. And that is not the – and I'm not joking. This is not a joke. This is not – he's got the mental capacity of a freaking toddler. And this is the guy that's going to deal – the guy that said we should inject bleach into people. That guy. Yeah. That's going to be the real legacy. But you see, the stupids don't just end with Donald Trump. They go down the line. Vice President Mike Pence returned to Minnesota on Tuesday to highlight the Mayo Clinic's coronavirus research and testing efforts, and calling them a whole of Minnesota approach. Great. Well, as long as he doesn't do anything really stupid while he's in Minnesota, I think we're, oh my God. Even as he praised Mayo's efforts to combat COVID-19, Pence ignored the clinic's request that all visitors don face masks to prevent transmission, including Governor Tim Walz and others on the tour. In the face of growing commentary on television and social media, Mayo officials responded with a tweet as the tour was underway. Mayo Clinic has informed the VP that the masking policy prior to his arrival today. He walked around Mayo Clinic in Rochester, not like, you know, an expansive Mayo section at the grocery store. He walked around the Mayo Clinic with people who are sick with coronavirus without a mask on. You can see Governor Walz, he's behind him with a good mask. Does he think a mask is somehow cheating on his wife? Jesus wouldn't be for me wearing a mask. Masks are Satan's clothing. The only thing that gets this close to my lips is my dear mother. What? I mean, wife. What? Never mind. Has he been inoculated? I'm dead serious. I mean, that's the first thing I think about is, like, how does the Secret Service, their job is to jump in front of anything harming him. How does Secret Service agents just look at him and say, sir, you need to put the mask on? You know, I mean, I'm here to help in case someone tries to assassinate you quickly. Let's not take the long route here, okay? Why don't you wear a mask and you'll be safe? Can't the Secret Service look at the guy and say, put the mask on for your own safety? I mean, I just see Wile E. Coyote carrying a pack of matches into the dynamite shack to see what's going on. Wile E. Coyote. Oh, Looney Tunes, you get me through more of these days than I can say. Pence's visit followed Walz's announced moonshot plan to partner with Mayo Clinic and the University of Minnesota to ramp up virus testing in the state. Mayo's National Reference Library has already conducted 150,000 molecular diagnostic tests for COVID-19 nationwide. Walz greeted Pence after Air Force 2 landed at the Rochester Air Force before noon. Did they finish taxiing or did he just jump out the frickin' door and roll? This guy has that little concern for his own life. They were joined by the governor's daughter, Hope Lynn, and the U.S. Representative Jim Hagedorn. For God's sakes, you got Jim Hagedorn there. He's got type 4 cancer, for God's sakes. What are you doing? How in the hell is it that the vice president cares more? I care more for a Republican congressman in Minnesota than the vice president of the Republican Party. How is that even possible? Sweet Jesus. God, how are you this stupid? God, Pence, how are you this dumb? You're supposed to be the smart one of this duo. It's of mice and men with all Lennies. I mean, it's Jesus Christ. Hey, look, it's another puppy. Hey, look, it's another bunny. Oh, no. Dear God. How are you this stupid, sir? Mr. Vice President, how are you this dumb? Now, unless you have been inoculated and you just know that you're not going to get it, which would lead to a whole slew of other questions, you're with a guy you know has stage 4 cancer, which means he's in the highly susceptible range. Plus, his age is getting him up there as well. And once again, I don't like Jim Hagedorn. I don't want the guy dead. If I saw Jim Hagedorn coming, I'd quickly put a mask on and say, I want to make sure you're not getting anything. The Mayo Clinic tells him not to. The governor of Minnesota is wearing a mask, and he's like, hey, look at me. I am heterosexual, mask-free. Is there a slow gas leak at the White House? Well, considering the food they're eating, yes, technically there is. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Let's take a break, shall we? 952-946-6205. He goes to the Mayo Clinic during a pandemic and hikes around without a mask. Oh, I was faithful, mother. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. We'll get the Minnesota update when we come on back, too. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
Hi, this is Chad from AM950. I'm here with Ryan, owner of the locally owned Snap Construction and arguably the most well-reviewed exterior contractor in the metro. Ryan had to call in for this ad because he's practicing social distancing. So what is Snap Construction doing right now to provide a safe working environment?
Thanks for the introduction, Chad. I am at home practicing social distancing, watching the little man, and trying to get a little work done here at home. Once again, thank you to all the AM950 listeners who have worked with us in the past. Your support has been tremendous. Chad, the safety of our homeowners and our team at Snap Construction is the absolute first priority. Right now, we are offering a free no-contact estimate for roofing, siding, or window replacement. Through video chat, email, text, we'll deliver your bid to you without face-to-face contact. Lock in your historically low labor and material rates now and build later. No obligation. You can cancel any future work with no cost or penalty.
For a free no-contact estimate, call 612-333-SNAP.
Hello, humans. This is me, Ellie Krug, with Ellie 2.0 Radio on Monday mornings from 7 to 8 a.m. Our featured idealist is Eloise Cobell, an American Indian who launched the biggest class action against the federal government and won. The big interview is with Mickey Morissette, publisher of Minnesota Women's Press. And in my C-block, I talk about my first online training, Ellie 2.0 Radio, engaging in real on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
Hi, this is Laura. These are indeed confusing times. So much of our life, education, business, meetings have moved online, yet not everyone has internet access. AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota, is here for everyone. Radio reaches people without internet. In fact, radio reaches more Americans than any other platform. 92% of U.S. adults listen to radio every week. Radio connects. If you know some organization, maybe a religious or civic group, seeking to engage and knows that a Zoom call costs money and does not reach everyone, consider a taped or live broadcast on AM 950. Perhaps a virtual not-so-silent auction, recovery support, spiritual support, business networking, poetry slam. If you want to learn more about creating a live or taped message on AM 950, call 952-946-8885 or email Laura at am950radio.com. AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota, here for everyone.
AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. How stupid can you be? I mean, seriously, how stupid could you be to be the vice president of the United States, a heartbeat away from the presidency, and you during a pandemic, you go to the Mayo Clinic without a face mask on? Wow. Vern is in White Bear Lake. Vern, thanks for holding. Welcome on in.
Hi, Matt. I hadn't heard what you're talking about right now. I hadn't heard about that yet. So it doesn't surprise me he's got to have his big white face on TV. There was an article on the Star Tribune on a Sunday, one of those other parts of the paper, and it was about death photos. And I swear to God, him and all these people that gather around him, they all look like walking death. And you know, he was here a month ago, barely. It's all about the PR. They're so desperate for some PR that's positive. That's why he's here.
Well, and of course.
And you could bet there's some little political gathering, a fundraiser somewhere. He's here, and it was the last time he was here.
Well, Vern, you're exactly right. You're exactly right. There probably is a fundraiser that's here. They're going to take advantage of that. And thanks, Vern. I appreciate the phone call. But as well, no, does anyone doubt that they're going to try to take credit for what the Mayo Clinic is doing? I mean, you just heard Trump. Nobody knows genetic testing better than me. I know I can pronounce genetic testing henceforth. Nobody knows it better than me. Wow. Wow. I mean, seriously, how do you go around Jim Hagedorn right now? And okay, I get it. It's the vice president. And you don't want to go out there, but how do you go around Jim Hagedorn, who's going through stage 4 cancer? He is in the most susceptible group. The death toll from COVID-19 has reached 301 in Minnesota, where state health authorities on Tuesday reported another 15 fatalities from the infectious disease that's caused by the novel coronavirus. A single day record of 365 lab confirmed cases was reported Tuesday as well in Minnesota, where officials believe the statewide stay-at-home order has limited the spread of the virus. The total case count now is 4,181, doubling the amount that would have been reported 11 days ago. Some health officials fear the doubling of cases in this exponential stage of the pandemic every couple of days. The reality is that we're testing more. I think these people were there. We're now realizing it. Testing activity increased as well, though it remains short of the 5,000 per day that Governor Walz wanted in play by May 4th when a statewide stay-at-home order is scheduled to end. There were 2,412 molecular diagnostic tests for COVID-19 reported on Tuesday, bringing the state total to 63,829. Walz was scheduled to visit the Mayo Clinic in Rochester today with Vice President Mike Pence. The order was Oops. The order was designed to reduce face-to-face contact and disease transmission by 80% to buy time for hospitals to prepare. As of Tuesday morning, the state reported that 314 COVID-19 patients were hospitalized, 120 needed intensive care among all lab-confirmed patients. 1,912 had recovered and were no longer required in isolating themselves. COVID-19 continues to be the harshest in the elderly and people of underlying health problems. The median age of death is now 83. The majority of fatalities involve residents in long-term care facilities. Widespread testing in Nobles County, due largely to an outbreak among workers at the JBS pork plant in Worthington, has now confirmed 477 cases. That is by far, I think, the second most in the state. I'm pretty sure that's the second most in the state in Noble County, just because, you know why? Pork producers, none of them seem to have cared about their employees until it was too late. That's at least what it seems like. Julie is in Minneapolis. Let's get her call in here before we go to the break. Welcome on in, Julie.
Yeah, I just wanted to add a couple of quick things. You know, obviously, the vice president, his number one job is to express the glory and power of his boss, the president. The president obviously doesn't wear a mask, so he obviously isn't going to wear one either. When I first heard that the vice president was coming to Mayo Clinic, I knew it wasn't to praise Mayo Clinic on their tremendous efforts. I knew it was all about, you know, the glory of the presidency and the power of the presidency. And I think he's trying to appeal to the Republican base.
Well,
he still believes that it's not a serious problem. Let's open everything up. It really, you know, this so-called pandemic isn't really a big deal. And I think his base is going to lap it up.
Well,
what do you
think? Well, and Julie, thank you very much. First of all, and I appreciate the phone call, 952-946-6205. When you look at what their motivation is, I mean, Trump, why did he take over the pandemic press conferences? Because he desperately needs to talk to his base. He feels as if the only way he can win is by getting back to rallies. Getting back to these little racist get-togethers at these events where, you know, that he can go on out there because they love him for that. And once again, reminder, everybody better frickin' vote because every one of them is going to show up and vote for Trump. Every one of this clown car. That even if they get sick, they have family members that get sick and die, they basically lose their business, they lose their house. They're unemployed. Their job doesn't exist anymore. They'll still say, but it's not Trump's fault. It was those damn Democrats Obama planned these years ago. That's what they will say. And Trump is desperate to keep talking to those people. The problem is that when he's at a rally versus doing a press conference, when he says stupid things like injecting people with Lysol or, you know, Clorox or whatever, disinfectant, that he, you know, all of a sudden there's consequences for his stupidity. He could say that at a rally and everyone would lap it up and no one would report on it. No one would say, wow, that's kind of a crazy thing to say. He says at a rally, he's like, isn't he just firing up his base? It's one of the reasons why he wants to do West Point. He wants to do the graduation ceremony and he's demanding that all the cadets get back to West Point so he can speak to them because he can order this group of people. And that's what he's doing. He is ordering these military graduates back together so he can have the feeling of doing a rally. And there's, even without a doubt, does everyone right now, that when he does speak to West Point, he's not going to talk about American pride, he's not going to talk about the military, he's not going to talk about the army, he's going to talk about, do you know I won in Wisconsin? Wisconsin was great. Lock her up! That's what he's going to be like. I'm, you know, borrowing a little bit from Colbert when he made the point about it, but he's right. He's absolutely correct. He wants to basically hold rallies. And so, and I guarantee you, there will come October, regardless of where things are at, come October, they will have their rallies. And they'll be basically just telling people, do an absentee ballot, mail it in. If you start feeling sick, just get, you know, the most important thing is do the rallies. So, yeah, there's an ulterior motive here. They're trying to win an election, even though, once again, and I want to repeat this because this is so unbelievable. Of all the countries on the planet that have been affected by this, the United States by far has had the worst outbreak, worse than countries with quite a bit more population, like India and China. Worse than countries with comparable populations. By far, we have five times as many cases. And you know why? We have idiots in charge. So, yeah, there's an ulterior motive here. They're desperately trying to talk to these people who went eagerly out protest at Minnesota Governor's Mansion and across the country without masks on, without social distancing, who are probably feeling sick right now, who are already starting to feel, get a fever, get that headache, not feel it, can't, having trouble breathing. And they're saying to themselves, thank God I'm going to die for Trump. Because that is, once again, they hate Democrats more than they love their religion, their wife, their kids, their house, their job, their country. They do. And so at the end of the day, they'll gladly get sick and possibly die as long as they feel as if they get the approval of their great orange lord. 952-946-6205. I got some other things to get to, including an ag report. Time for Ag Corner when we do return. 952-946-6205. It is the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
Next time on Philosophy Talk, money matters.
Oh, you mean those otherwise worthless pieces of paper with famous people's faces on them?
Well, they do say it makes the world go round, John.
Yeah, but if it can't buy happiness, what's the point?
Try imagining your life without any of it.
Well, that's pretty easy to do in my case.
Money matters. Next time on Philosophy Talk.
Philosophy Talk. Every Sunday at 8 a.m. and again at 2 p.m. on AM 950.
I'm attorney Rachel Schroman of Schroman Law in St. Paul, and I am passionate about providing legal services in the areas of estate planning, probate, and elder law. My clients receive the attention and compassion they deserve, with their peace of mind being my top priority. Enjoy the comfort of knowing that you have planned for the worst so you can confidently continue living at your best. Visit SchromanLaw.com. That's SchromenLaw.com.
Hi, Gregory Rich, owner of Habitation Furnishing and Design and host of Drinkin' the Style, Saturdays at 7 and Sundays at 5. You know, we're all sitting at home right now, and chances are you've noticed a thing or two that you wish you could change. Well, the Habitation Design staff is here to help. Right now, we're offering free virtual interior design services. It works like this. You guys are home, we're all at home. Let's schedule a virtual walkthrough of your space. Using FaceTime, Zoom, or Skype, one of our degreed professional interior designers will take a look, tell you precisely how to measure your room, then provide you with specific product recommendations, a design plan, and everything you need to make your space beautiful and functional. So we've all got the time. Why don't we take advantage of it? Call Habitation at 952-426-3548. That's 952-426-3548 and schedule your virtual design appointment today.
Indeed, we got the localminnesota.com restaurants. Okay, so what we do know, first of all, Victor's 1959 Cafe, not open, but you can buy gift cards there. Please do. They will reopen, and you'll be able to cash those in later on. So if you can help out there, please do. Many of the restaurants that are offering takeout, Cafe Latte, Great Wall, Nightingale, Hazel's Northeast, and Park Tavern. And I want to bring back to Hazel's Northeast really quick. The Hazel's Northeast folks, they basically, not only do they have food to go, but they also have food you can make at home, too, which is a really cool idea. They were featured in City Pages on that. So go check that out, too. So you can not only get a meal for tonight, but get some information, and they'll give you the directions and all the ingredients, and you can make some stuff at home. That's a great way to go about it. So once again, eatlocalminnesota.com. Help out them out if you possibly can. An intoxicated woman who allegedly kicked an EMT and was violent with hospital staff, among the 11 Minnesotans and North Dakotans charged in the past week with violating Tim Walz's COVID-19 executive orders. Does anyone have a problem with us charging her for violating Governor Walz's order if she's, you know, she's kicking EMTs and being belligerent to nursing staff? Anyone have a problem with that? This charge? All right. I can't wait for some Republican to talk about, her rights were violated. Well, when she was, you know, paying the EMT? No. A total of 44 people have been charged between March and Tuesday morning with violating Walz's order to stay at home or for restaurants and bars to cease dine-in services. Following a trend from previous cases that has been criticized by some advocates, six of the new offenses were tacked onto cases that apparently originated as other alleged crimes. Those additional charges, all misdemeanors or gross misdemeanors, included speeding, trespassing, and fifth-degree assault, among others. Some previous cases included felony charges, such as stalking and drug offenses. I don't have any problem. If you got someone who's getting felony stalking, yeah, go charge them with the Walz thing. Early this month, Oakdale police cited the host of a biker party and birthday party. A biker party and a birthday party? Were the bikers wearing birthday hats? Okay. The American Civil Liberties Union of Minnesota has previously criticized the practice of tacking on the COVID-19 violations to other cases. The organization has broadly encouraged education over criminalization, as has Walz and the Department, Minnesota Department of Public Safety. Five of the new cases had no additional charges. Walz's stay-at-home order went into effect on March 27th and extended till May 4th. A violation is a misdemeanor punishable by up to 90 days in jail with a maximum fine of $1,000. The new cases, many of which did not include a summary of the events leading up to the citation, are a Austin, Minnesota woman charged in Murray County with the violation of one count each of obstructing ambulance personnel, disorderly conduct, obstructing the legal process, and fifth-degree assault. According to the complaint, she was extremely belligerent, and the deputy and the ambulance staff are on the scene. The charges said, adding that she allegedly admitted to have smoked meth and drank alcohol. Why just be drunk? You can be on meth and drunk, too. Wow. A Blaine woman was cited by Blaine police for violation and trespassing. A Lexington, Minnesota man was cited by Lionel Lake police for the violation. A Minneapolis man was cited by Minnetonka police for the violation, using a fictitious name on a driver's license and using a fictitious or altered driver's license. I'm going to guess, is this an underage kid trying to get booze or something? I don't know. A Barnesville, Minnesota man was cited by the Otter Tail County Sheriff's Office for violating and trespassing. A Pelican Rapids man was cited by the Otter Tail County Sheriff's Office for a violation. Well, Otter Tail's been busy. A Fargo man was cited by the Otter Tail County Sheriff's Office for a violation. The Horace, North Dakota man was cited in the Otter Tail County Sheriff's Office. St. Paul man was cited by North St. Paul police when an officer saw him driving 10 miles over the speed limit in a 30-mile-an-hour zone. Wait a minute here. Are you charging the guys who are doing 122 out in the interstate? Those guys maybe you should charge, but, you know, 10 miles. Okay, well. He's also allegedly drove across the double yellow line while turning was slow to stop. The officer is also cited for driving while under revocation, speeding, and having no insurance. Okay, well, not exactly the bell of the ball here then. An 18-year-old Little Canada woman was cited by Woodbury police for the violation after driving outside the hours allowed on her provisional driver's license and careless driving. An Afton man was cited by Oakdale police for a violation. I don't know. My mentality is, if you're just giving them the violation by itself, if that's the only thing, come on, maybe just tell them to go home. If they're being belligerent, drunk meth heads, you know, I think, you know, that are kicking at EMTs, I think you might have a case there that, you know, maybe, you know, throwing that on the charges. I don't have a problem with that.
Well, you know, what's kind of crazy, though, you were reading that, you know, that list.
Yep.
I don't know if you heard about this. There was an incident where they busted a street racing ring in Mendota Heights. I think it was about a week and a half, 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, they're recurring. They have a recurring street racing problem down there, yeah.
Yeah, they said there were hundreds and hundreds of cars. They said, well, like 400 vehicles. They gave out over 100 citations. I'm like, where are the stay-at-home violations for that?
Well, and I think what you're doing is you're getting the, you know, the individualness of the specific police department. So I'm going to guess the Mendota police didn't feel as the need to issue those citations. But at the same time, you know, if things start going badly, I mean, it was interesting. I mentioned earlier I interviewed Kurt Brown for a members-only interview. And, of course, his book is Minnesota 1918. And he talks about it. He said the first wave of the flu back in 1918 was not the bad one. It was the next two that happened, which were really bad, and that it was, you know, really horrible. I mean, we think to ourselves we are such a nation of people that you get sick, you take some medication, and you're back to work. And the reality is we haven't dealt with a pandemic in a long time, and you know, if things get really bad, maybe you start saying, you know what, we're not going to give you the option, we're going to give you the ticket. But it's the individual. I could tell you this, Otter Tail's not a place you want to mess around with. I wouldn't be messing around in Otter Tail County. It sounds like they've got some issues up there. Let's get into the Ag Report. That's right. We don't get into enough ag news here. A week of cooperative weather set planting at a near-record pace across the Corn Belt last week. Corn acres planted jumped to 27%, up from 7% the previous week. Much of that progress was in two key states, according to Chip Flory of AgriTalk Radio. A couple of states really stand out. We've got Iowa 39% planted. We've got Minnesota at 40% planted. Nicely done. And he actually repeated, 40% planted in Minnesota. Both states are about to double the five-year average pace. That means in the last week, Iowa planted about 5.2 million acres of corn. Minnesota pulled about 3.3 million acres of corn. And the unfortunate, but I do want to make sure I mention as well, after we say, hey, great, corn's getting planted. Corn prices continue to plummet. Corn prices continue to plummet. And a University of Illinois ag economist says he doesn't think farmers have seen the bottom of the market yet. Gary Schnetke told Brownfield News he published an analysis for the National Corn Growers Association that shows cash corn prices have declined by 16% on average since March 1st as a result of COVID-19. If we look at cash prices since the beginning of the year from January and February, and then look at it through April 15th, on average across the nation, prices fell 60 cents per bushel. He says the price per bushel fell even more in Nebraska and the Dakotas and other areas that serve ethanol. And by the way, if you didn't know, the ethanol is, yeah, ugh. He says that the data also projects that $50 per acre revenue decline for the 2019 corn crop, adding the government aid probably will not recover those losses. You're losing money growing corn at this point. He says it's taking more hits compared to soybeans and wheat because of lower demand for its two biggest uses, ethanol and livestock feed. We would expect to see demand for livestock feed decrease in the future because of the processing plant problems that are currently facing, and then reduce demand for livestock and meat down the road as consumers face a recession-type situation. The analysis was commissioned by the NCGA to better understand the economic impact. So, great. We've got a lot of corn planted, but no one's buying. Or you're losing $50 per bushel or per acre, wasn't it? It was $50 per acre revenue. So if you're farming, God, Matt's math corner. All right, one second here. Say you have, I don't know, 20,000 acres times 50. That's $1 million. All right, you just lost $1 million. Your margins as a farmer are $24,000, $26,000 a year. You can't lose $50 per acre. You just can't. Dear Lord. A federal lawsuit has been filed against Smithfield Foods by an anonymous worker at the company's pork plant in Milan in north central Missouri. The Rural Community Workers Alliance, which represents meatpacking plant workers in rural Minnesota, has joined the suit, which accuses Smithfield of failing to protect workers from the risk of COVID-19. The suit reportedly says the company has not provided enough protective gear, encouraged workers to come in sick, and told them not to cover their mouths when sneezing or coughing. Wait a minute. You told them not to cover their face when they sneeze or cough. Okay, I'm going to bring up the obvious point here. Not just the coworkers, but the meat that you're processing. You're encouraging people to cough and sneeze on that. Wow. The suit claims ongoing health hazards to the plant are a public nuisance. Smithfield says its policy does not allow it to comment on pending litigation, but told Brownfield that health and safety of its employees are its top priority. Well, now it is. Not 2 weeks ago. We could give a rat's ass about those guys 2 weeks ago. But today, sure, no. Boy, the press is looking pretty bad. Buy bacon. I'm just speculating. I'm a comedian. I make jokes. That's what I do. I'm a train chimp. Smith Sales says the allegations in the lawsuit are not factual and lack legal merit. And he says the claims, which were previously made by against Smithfield, have been investigated and determined to be unfounded. Is that because most of your workers are sick at home and so they can't come in? Oh. Smith says it will vigorously defend itself on the litigation. The Milan plant remains open. Smithfield closed its Milan City plant in northwest Missouri because the workers confirmed they had COVID-19. And I want to make sure we mention not only the health disaster that we have unfolding in front of our eyes due to the greedy bastards, I'm sorry, executives, who run the meat processing industry. Every one of them seem to have basically said, we don't care. I mean, this is what they seem to have done. They seem to have said, we don't care. The product is the most important thing. And it was only when you get the South Dakota legislature, you know, for God's sakes, the flag of South Dakota should be a trailer park, for God's sakes. I mean, that's the state does not care for its own people. It is a state that just does not care for its own people. And when they all of a sudden find their moral conscience and they start coming on out and saying, hey, you seem to be killing a lot of your people, that should tell you something. The other thing is, and I didn't have time to get to this story, but there's the story of the guy who's the hog farmer who he has a contract with Smithfield. And, okay, so his... He can't sell these pigs to anyone else. Because the first thing I would say is, like, well, we have butcher shops. You're telling me a butcher shop couldn't buy that pig and basically, you know, butcher it out and sell it locally? But apparently he says his only other options were to send it to other Smithfield plants, and that they're shut down too. So he has no other option outside of just killing his herd. At the end of all of this, we need to definitively revisit the entire ag sector, because not only do we have it full of greedy, jackassian executives who only seem to be in it for the money and that human beings to them just do not matter. They are a box of frickin' paperclips. But the way that this entire system is set up, if we do get to a point, where there are food shortages and we don't have food on the shelves. I want everyone to remember that because of the way these contracts are written, numerous farmers, ranchers have had to kill their livestock because they have no other option because the company they've contracted with will not take it. That is insanity. But hey, at least they got a kick-ass boat. I guess that's the trade-off. I don't know. I'm not sure. 952-946-6205. When we do return, I leave you in positive news. Some dancing coming up with the B-52s. It is the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
This is New Beginnings, hosted by award-winning broadcaster and speaker Freddie Bell.
Freddie, this generation of the baby boomers, people are living longer, so the baby boomers are taking care of elderly parents.
Let's talk about your health, and specifically, let's talk about Medicare. Our show features the concerns of America's 78 million baby boomers in employment, finance, health and nutrition, and even entertainment.
Join us for New Beginnings, Saturday mornings at 11, brought to you in part by Vision Loss Resources.
The British are coming! The British are coming! The British are coming!
Hey, you there! I'm Paul Revere! The British are coming! Where is everyone?
Ben Franklin dispatched an evacuation warning on Facebook. Didn't you get it?
Hi, I'm Chad Hobart with Social Media MN. If your marketing is behind the times, contact us today online at socialmediamn.com or at 763-244-4058. We can help your business message get dispatched and selected on social media and Google search. We offer uncomplicated, results-driven, and affordable internet marketing solutions for businesses of all sizes. SocialMediaMN.com or 763-244-4058.
Hi, this is Mark Bython with Rudy Luther Toyota in Golden Valley. Rudy Luther Toyota remains open to support other essential services, such as medical workers, first responders, and countless others. You can rely on us to take care of vehicle repairs or replacements. We can pick up and deliver your car to keep it going, and you can handle your purchase transaction, mostly online and by phone, to make it easier and safer for you. We are diligent with sanitizing the dealership and your vehicle, and we are 6 feet apart. Please let us know how Rudy Luther Toyota can help at RudyLutherToyota.com.
As Vice President of the United States, I'm tested for the coronavirus on a regular basis, and everyone around me is tested for the coronavirus. The CDC, you know that, by the way, Vice President Pence, you know that guy that was on the bed wearing the face mask in the onesie? That guy had coronavirus, and you were talking to him without a mask on. So not all the people around you are tested for, are clean of coronavirus. The CDC issued guidelines about wearing a mask. It was their recognition that people that may have coronavirus could prevent the possibility of conveying the virus to someone else by wearing a mask. Since I don't have the coronavirus, I thought it'd be a good opportunity for me to be here to be able to be. For God's sakes. For God's sakes. You know, viruses only go one way. You know what? It's only if I'm sick, you can only get it, Patrick. It doesn't go the other way. Science, man. Science, Patrick. Sweet Lord. All right. Well, with that bright, sunny note, let's hit the B-52s. Private Idaho. I'm dancing on the cameras. We're back tomorrow. Have a good one. Till then, see ya.
You're living in your own private Idaho. Living in your own.